I want to read from the Old Testament in the book of Joshua, and the last chapter of Joshua, and chapter 24. Book of Joshua, and chapter 24. Verse 2, And Joshua said unto all the people, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood, and led him throughout all the land of Canaan, and multiplied his seed, and gave him Isaac. And I gave unto Isaac, Jacob, and Esau, and I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. I sent Moses also, and Aaron. Verse 10. But I would not hearken unto Balaam, therefore he blessed you still. So I delivered you out of his hand. Now, further down the chapter, please, and come to a very important verse, verse number 14. Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. Now we trust the Lord will be pleased to add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. I don't think there is anything more precious to an individual than to be able to make a choice. It becomes one of the great features of life, just to have the privilege of choice. Very sad for those in this life that have not been developed to such a degree as to exercise the privilege of choice. And you know, dear friend, it's a very real thing when it comes to the matter of things spiritual and things eternal. And I trust you will realize that this great privilege is very, very solemn when it comes to eternal things. The implication of your choice is really eternal. It's not for the years of time alone, but it's for eternity. You see, there are many things that you could choose and decide that would determine your material comfort, your educational experience, and your future career, your partner in life. So many aspects, dear friend, that can be and are affected by choice. But when it comes to the matter of your salvation and your choice in relation to the person of the Lord Jesus, remember the implications are very, very real and very, very great. Your destiny is decided by your decision. Your destiny is decided by your choice. And you know, that brings it very, very personal to you. And it must bring it very solemnly to your heart that within your bosom, within your power, is the ability to make an eternal choice. I was thinking of reading, and that's why you write the hymn, but time doesn't serve. And I was thinking of an illustration I could use of a person that asked the question, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And I'm thinking of Pilate, faced with the all-important decision. Will he accept? Will he believe? Will he trust? Or will he reject the person standing before him in his judgment hall? Now you know, dear friend, when a person is brought to that critical moment, and I believe there are many in the meeting have been brought to that place throughout these meetings. When a person is brought to that position, there are many voices that are heard. Above and beyond this, as far as Pilate was concerned, there certainly was the voice of the crowd. How they cried. They would have endeavored to affect his decision very dramatically. They said, away with him. We will not of this man. Crucify him. And when they saw that Pilate was likely to let the Savior go and release him, the voice of the crowd became more insistent. And it became more decisive. And they challenged this man, if thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Oh, dear friend, think of it. And in the meeting tonight, is this the voice that is causing you to reject the Lord Jesus? The voice of the crowd. You're not prepared to single yourself out from the multitude, out from your companions, out from the riotous mob of men and women that reject the Savior on every hand, and make a personal, and make a real, and make a vital choice for Christ as your Savior. On that occasion, there was the voice of a companion. Just in that critical moment, there was handed to the governor a letter from his wife. Have thou nothing to do with this just man, for I have suffered many things in a dream because of him. But you know, dear friend, tonight the devil is subtle. And he never was more subtle as he is at this moment in your soul. And maybe he's coming closer to you than the crowd, than the mass outside. Maybe he's coming right to you through the voice of a companion. And that voice is penetrating. And that voice is powerful. And that voice is persuasive. But you know, friend, there was something else. As Pilate stood with this tremendous dilemma, faced with this mighty decision, there was the voice of conscience. As he stood there and looked into the face of God's beloved Son, he knew he was dealing with no ordinary prisoner. He knew that he was dealing with no ordinary person. For as he looked into the face of God's beloved Son, it began to dawn on him. This man
is without blame.
He said, I can find no fault in this man. Pilate used all his past experience and drew upon all his ingenuity. If only he could discover a fractional error that would consummate his judgment upon the Son of God. A dear friend, he applied all the resources that his educated mind could possess, and he came up with this glorious decision. I find no fault in this man. You see, friend, his conscience was stricken. He knew that as he stood before the Savior, and as the Savior stood before him, this was the Savior, this was the Son of God, this was the King of Israel, this was God's beloved Son, holy and harmless and undefiled and absolutely pure. And I'm perfectly convinced, dear friend, he sensed in his soul his total unworthiness. I believe he was brought to look into the face of God's Holy Son and see something of his own wretchedness in the sight of such a person. You've been there? Would not the Spirit of God have brought you there already in these meetings? And conscience is speaking? Conscience awakened by the Word of God? Conscience addressed by the Spirit of God? With the Word shining upon that darkened conscience of yours, telling you you're a sinner. Telling you, friend, you're heading for eternity without Christ. Telling you you're going down to hell as fast as time can take you. And you sit in the meeting tonight with a conscience speaking. I have a friend, there was another voice. There was a voice of the client. There was the voice of the companion. There was the voice of conscience. But above and beyond that, then, there was the voice of Christ. What did I say the first night I stood in this platform in the gospel? I told you, friend, those that were here, that when the Savior came within the shades of Calvary, there was a man that he stood before. And although that man endeavored, although he tried, although he was anxious, and although he resorted to everything possible, the Lord Jesus offered him never a word. Herod received not a word from Christ. But Pilate did. Pilate did. You see, the Lord was addressing Pilate. And the Lord would answer Pilate. And the Lord was speaking to the man, bringing him like you, dear friend, to make a choice. And he made a choice. And he rejected the Savior. Now I want you to think of this question as put in this chapter. The advice that this man gave to this gathered company of people at the end chapter of his book. I just want to use it tonight as my closing message to you. And there's Joshua with all the influence of a holy life, with all the help that God had given him over the years to lead his people. But you know, friend, there were elements there that were pulling in the other direction. There were God's many. And you know, friend, there's some in the meeting tonight, and you've listened to the gospel, and you're under the influence of infernal power. drawn the influence friend of powers of hell. And you have to make a choice. You have to make a choice. For these people were liable to worship the gods they could see as quickly as they would profess to worship the God they couldn't see. They had to make a choice. You know, friend, I feel the illustrations of the Word of God cannot be improved upon. And I quickly ask you to summarize the reading I made. Maybe you didn't notice it. I wouldn't expect you to notice it, because it would be new ground to you. But we have to read the Word of God carefully and point these things out to you for you to read for yourself. There are four men I read about. I read about Abraham. And I read about Moses. And I read about Esau. And I read about Balaam. You might never have heard those men before. But friend, I'm going to classify those four men in two sections. I want you to look at Abraham, and I want you to look at Moses. And then I want you to look at Esau, and I want you to look at Balaam. And I want you to listen to this great challenge. Choose you this day whom you will serve. And as I look at Abraham, I remember from my Bible, the moment came when the God of glory appeared to Abraham. And he made a choice. He made a choice. He turned his back on his home, his kindred, and his gods. For this is the very chapter, and these are the very portions that tell us that Abraham was born in idolatry. But the radiance and the glory of the God of glory captivated his heart, friend, and he turned and he believed God. He made a choice. And tonight, friend, the world lays its charms before you, and it has captivated you, and has led you on with its drugs and its demons and its dancing, and all the rest of it, dear friend. I want you to realize that the light of the gospel shining in the very audience tonight through the personal work of the Lord Jesus, and you have to make a choice. You have to make a choice. Moses made a choice. Oh, my Bible tells me, and my Bible uses the very word that has been upon my soul all day. There was Moses with the world at his feet. The riches, the royalty of Egypt. And all the regalia that went with it and all the resources of Egypt were at his feet, within his grasp. And he looked in another direction. And my Bible and yours, if you have one, says this: Moses chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He made a choice. He made a choice. A friend, his name is indelibly written here. He made a choice. Great choice. Thank God, friend, he responded to the call of God. And he accepted the path of faith. And he came to the point in his experience, like Pilate, like these people, like you, friend, where he had to make a choice. And he made a choice. I haven't time to tell you how costly that was. But I want to use it tonight in emphasizing the crisis in which you find yourself tonight, friend. And this may be the last time you'll ever hear the call. Esau made a choice. I told you the other night the choice he made. There was something that responded inside to the momentary gratification that was there. He had something very precious within his grasp. It became the bargaining point. And he looked at it. And I told you, he couldn't see any gain in the past in having it. He couldn't see any value at that moment in retaining it. And he sensed no loss, friend, without it. I can go on without this thing. I can live without. And he sold his birthright for a pottage of, for a bowl of pottage, a mess of pottage. Made a choice. And friend, I want to tell you, that choice was determinative because he never could recover. And the Bible puts him down in solemn, stern, severe language and calls him a profane person. Made a choice. Balaam made a choice. Man, you listen. I didn't use that word infernal because I was stuck, you know. I had Balaam in mind. Balaam was tied between two decisions, two things. Here was God appealing to him. Friend, here was God actually meeting him in his path. Would stop him in his wild career. And block his very way so he couldn't turn either one way or the other. And you know, friend, the very animal on which he was riding had more sense than he. For the animal saw the drawn sword of God. My friend, there were other forces. There were infernal forces. But forces of hell were working in his heart. Oh, I know he had lovely language. I know he'll say that he would love to think that when he comes to the end, he'll die the death of the righteous. And his last end would be like his. Oh, a lovely language. He could use the words of people that you would think were saved. He could appropriate the very things, friend, that can only apply to those that know their God. I made a choice. And my Bible calls it the wages of unrighteousness. Friend, Abraham chose to sacrifice. Then listen, Moses chose to suffer. You listen with both ears, man, as I close. Esau chose to sell. And Balaam choose to swear. He went out determined to swear against the people of God. And God stopped his mouth while he chose to do it. Joshua chose to serve. We're told in the Bible that Mary chose to sit. Not of it. She chose to sit at his feet. And where are you going to choose? He's waiting for your choice. You can choose now. He died that it may be simply a matter of choice. nothing more to do. The work is done. The sacrifice is complete. God is satisfied. He wants to save you now. But you make a choice. All these men asked, believed, received, accepted. And you can go through all those words. What God said. What God did. And they came away with everlasting blessing. I close with a man that made a choice, friend. Came to his friend one day and he says, David, I know that you're going to be king. He says, David, when you're crowned king in Hebron, I want to be sitting on your right hand. You listen to those words. You know what that's like? That's like a young soul or an older person in the meeting saying, I intend to be in heaven, Mr. Ben. I don't want to miss it. I intend to be in heaven. And Jonathan said to David, I want to be on your right hand when you're crowned king in Hebron. But you know, friend, there came a point in that tremendous issue where Jonathan made a choice. And he went one way, and David went another. And the time came when David was crowned king in Hebron. Oh, it was a glorious day. The crown was put on his head, and I looked. Jonathan, did you intend to be there? I did. Where are you? I wasn't there. Actually, friend, his dead body was decorating a Philistine wall. I wasn't there at all. Intention could deprive you of your soul's eternal blessing if you stop short of accepting Christ as your Savior.